Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so the topic of my talk is on the relation between independent component analysis and MMSE, and it is a joint work with my PhD supervisor, Professor Bin Yang. So the commonly considered case for independent component analysis is the demixing of linear noiseless mixtures. And in that case, the ideal demixing matrix W is the inverse of the mixing matrix A. However, here we want to consider linear noisy mixtures, and the noise changes the ICA solution, so it's no longer the inverse mixing matrix. And this can be modeled by this equation here, WICA is equal to A inverse plus some deviation W tilde, or we can approximate this for small noise as A inverse plus sigma squared times W bar. Prior work on noisy ICA mainly consists in methods to compensate the bias W tilde, and they modify the cost function or update equation of ICA. However, they require knowledge about the noise. And we are interested in the ICA solution for the noisy case without any bias correction, and because we have made the observation that indeed ICA behaves quite similar to MMSE. And hence, our goal is to find this matrix W bar here in this equation. And by this, we want to explore the relation between ICA and MMSE theoretically. So here's a quick overview of my talk. I will start with the signal model and the assumptions. Then we will look at three different solutions for the demixing task, namely the inverse solution and the MMSE solution, which are two non-blind methods. Then we will look at ICA solution, which is, of course, a blind approach. And in the results section, we will then see that, indeed, ICA can achieve an MSE close to the MMSE. So the mixing and the demixing process can be summarized by these two equations here. They are probably well known to all of you. X is the vector of mixture signals, which are linear combinations of the source signals S. Through the square mixing matrix A, which is n by n, and we have some additive noise V here. And the demix signals Y are obtained by a linear transform W applied to the mixture signals X. The goal of the demixing is, of course, to get the demix signals Y as similar as possible to the original signals S. So we make a couple of assumptions. First of all, the mixing process should be invertible, so this means A inverse should exist. The original signals are assumed to be independent with a non-Gaussian PDF QI with a mean 0 and variance 1. And furthermore, we assume that the PDF Q is 3 times continuously differentiable and that all required expectations exist. Regarding the noise, we assume that it's 0 mean, with a covariance matrix sigma squared times RV. So sigma squared indeed denotes the average variance of V, and RV is a normalized covariance matrix. The PDF of the noise can be arbitrary but symmetric, and this means that all odd-order moments of the noise are equal to 0. And last, we assume that the original sources S and the noise V are independent. So here's the first non-blind solution for demixing. That's it's the inverse solution. So W inverse is equal to A inverse. And it has the properties that it achieves a perfect demixing for the noiseless case. However, if there's noise, there's a danger of noise amplification, and this is especially serious if the mixing matrix A is close to singular. And of course, it's only possible if we know A in advance or somehow can estimate it. Hence, it's a non-blind method. The second non-blind method is the MMSE solution, which is the matrix W, which minimizes the MSE. The solution is given in this equation here, and we can approximate it in terms of sigma squared as in the last line. The properties are, again, that it's identical to the inverse solution if there's no noise, so we can achieve a perfect demixing if there's no noise. However, we need to know the mixing matrix A and properties of the noise. or we need to be able to estimate second-order moments between S and X. So again, it's a non-blind method. So now we come to the blind approach, the ICA solution. The idea of ICA is, of course, to get the DMIX signals Y statistically independent, since we assume that the original signals are statistically independent. Hence, we can define our desired distribution of the DMIX signals Q of Y to be the product of the marginal densities of the original sources QI. And then we can define a cost function, namely the Kullberg-Leibler divergence between the actual PDF of the DMIX signals Y and the desired PDF Q of Y. And the formula for the Kullberg-Leibler divergence is given here. We just want to note that it's equal to zero if the two PDFs P and Q are identical, and it's larger than zero if they are different. And hence, we can solve the demixing task by minimizing this cost function using stochastic gradient descent. And the update equations are given here. So the update delta W depends on W in, inverse transpose and this pseudo correlation matrix. And the function phi I here is the negative derivative of the log PDF of the original sources. Okay, so at convergence, of course, the update delta W is equal to zero, and this is equivalent to saying that this pseudo-correlation matrix phi of y times y transpose is equal to the identity matrix. The properties of the ICA solution are that it is equal to the inverse solution if there's no noise. But the big difference is that we don't need to know anything about A or S, so it's a blind demixing. The only thing that we require is that we know the PDF of the original sources, and the original sources must be non-Gaussian. If all the PDFs are different, then there's no permutation ambiguity, and if we know the PDF perfectly, then there's also no scaling ambiguity. Only a sign ambiguity remains if the PDF is symmetric. So now we come to the main result of the paper. We can show by Taylor series expansion of the nonlinear function phi I that the ICA solution is given by this equation, where RV tilde is a transformed correlation matrix of the noise, and M is a scaling matrix, which depends on the PDF of the original sources through the parameters kappa, lambda, and rho, which are given here. We just want to note that kappa is a measure of non-Gaussianity, and it's equal to 1 if and only if S is Gaussian, and it's in all other cases it's larger than 1. And for comparison, we have written down here the MMSE solution, and if you compare this equation and the one on the top here, you can see that they are indeed quite similar, except for the scaling matrix M. Sorry, I can go back. The scaling matrix M here. And if M is approximately a matrix with all elements equal to 1, then we can conclude that the ICA solution is close to the MMSE solution, and we can also show that in that case the two MSEs of the ICA solution and the MMSE solution are quite similar. The elements of the scaling matrix M are determined by the PDF Q of S of the sources, and hence to make any further conclusions, we will assume a certain family of PDFs, namely the generalized Gaussian distribution. So the PDF is given here, where gamma is the gamma function and beta is the shape parameter which controls the shape of the distribution. For example, for beta equals to 2, we obtain the Gaussian distribution. For beta equals to 1, the Laplacian distribution. And if we let beta go to infinity, we get the uniform distribution. So if we fix the variance to 1, then we obtain that rho is equal to beta minus 1. And the other parameters, kappa, lambda, and the elements of the scaling matrix M, are given in the plot here and the table. So the diagonal elements MII are exactly equal to kappa divided by 2, and the off-diagonal elements MIJ are between 0.5 and 1. But maybe more interesting than these parameters is the question, what MSE can we achieve and how close can we get to the MMSE estimator? And for this, we make an example. We consider two GGD sources with the same shape parameter beta. The mixing matrix is given here. We assume Gaussian noise with identity covariance matrix. And we study the relative MSE. So this means the MSE of the ICA solution divided by the MSE of the MMSE solution. And as you can see from the plot here on the right-hand side, the relative MSE of the ICA solution is close to 1 for a large range of the shape parameter beta here. So it's less than 1.06, so only 6% worse than the MMSE estimator. And for reference, we have also calculated the relative MSE of the inverse solution for the two SNRs of 10 dB and 20 dB. So you can see that a blind approach ICA outperforms the inverse solution, which is a non-blind method also for a large range of the values of the shape parameter beta. So up to now, we have considered only the theoretical results, which are valid only for an infinite amount of data, since we have evaluated all the expectations exactly. But in practice, you never have an infinite amount of data. So now we want to look at an actual Kullback-Leibler divergence-based ICA algorithm with a finite amount of data. And in practice, you usually don't use the standard gradient, but instead the natural gradient, because it has better convergence properties, and the update is just denoted here. Since we are now using a finite amount of data, of course, not only the bias of the ICA solution from the MMSE solution is important, but also the covariance of the estimation contributes to the MSE. And we again assume two identically distributed sources, so ICA suffers from the permutation ambiguity. So we need to resolve this before we can calculate the MSE. And last, the scaling of the ICA components is slightly different from the scaling of the MMSE solution, so we also compensate for this before we calculate the MSE values. So here on the left plot, we show the MSE for Laplacian distributed signals with for different SNRs and different sample sizes L. The black solid line is the MMSE estimator, and the colored lines are the actual performance of the ICA algorithm. And as you can see, for a large enough sample size, we can get quite close to the MMSE estimator, so we can achieve a very good MSE performance. For a low SNR, we can also see that ICA outperforms the inverse solution. This is shown on the right-hand side, where we plot the relative MSE. So the line with the triangles downwards, upwards, it's the inverse solution here. So for low SNR, it increases quite dramatically, whereas the ICA solution still yields a reasonable MSE. And the point where they are equal, the ICA solution and the inverse solution, this depends on the mixing matrix and the sample size. And one last point that I want to mention, we have also plotted the theoretical ICA solution with a triangle downwards here. And you can see that it matches quite well with the performance of the actual ICA algorithm, except for a very low SNR of 0 dB. And this is because we have made a small noise assumption in the derivations, because we have only considered terms up to order of sigma square in our Taylor series. We want also to study the influence of the shape parameter beta on the performance. So here we plot the relative MSE of the ICA solution for different SNRs, so 10 dB, 20 dB, and 30 dB. And the general trend is that the more non-Gaussian the sources, so the closer beta is equal to 0.5 or for large values of beta, the lower the relative MSE is, except for this case here where for the SNR of 10 dB. And one last point is that one might wonder why does the relative MSE increase for increasing SNR. So if you go from 10 dB SNR to 30 dB SNR, why does the relative MSE increase? But this can be explained by the fact that indeed the MSE for ICA, for the noiseless case, is not equal to zero, but it's lower bounded by the Kramer-Rau bound, which depends on kappa and lambda, kappa and L, sorry. And hence the relative MSE increases for increasing SNR. So to summarize, we have in this paper derived the ICA solution and the MSE for the noisy case. We have seen that there exists a relation between ICA and MSE, which depends on the PDF of the original sources. However, often the ICA solution, which is of course a blind approach, is close to the MMSE solution. And we want to state that the relation also exists when the nonlinearity phi I does not match the true PDF. And we have seen in the simulation results that we can, in practice, achieve an MSE close to the MMSE estimator with an ICA algorithm based on the Kullback-Leibler divergence. And we have also seen that not only the bias of the ICA solution is important, but also the covariance of the estimation determines the achievable performance. And to sum up everything, I want to state blind demixing by ICA is in many cases similar to non-blind demixing based on MMSE. So thank you for your attention, and if you have questions, please feel free to ask. Thank you. This is assuming that there's no time dependencies.
Okay. And you say here that when you don't know the distributions of the sources, you say that the relation exists. Is that the same relation or?
It depends. If you assume, for example, if you assume the wrong type of the distribution, if you assume sub-Gaussian and indeed the sources are super-Gaussian, then of course ICA does not work. So as long as you assume the correct type, and yeah, it depends on the amount of mismatch. If the mismatch is reasonably small, then you still get approximately the same performance. And I'm, yeah.
I mean, the true fees are optimal for ICA, for the noiseless ICA.
Yeah.
For noisy ICA,
there is
your relation. The question is whether with other fees it might be better.
It could indeed be better. And I've mentioned that in the paper that you could use this derivation to actually maybe derive phi functions which could yield a lower MSE by getting a M matrix which has elements close to one. But the problem is this. Obviously, it depends on the SNR, and so again, you would need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you again.
Okay.